Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
B-Pod Studios.
Mm. And now I'm going to do it for the air.
Do it.
Sugar water for the working man. All right, coming in 3, 2.
Hey, this is WWE Hall of Famer and Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
This week, our main focus will be talking about All Elite Wrestling's pay-per-view event, All Out. You can order All Out on pay-per-view Sunday night, September 5th. Mike, as we pick our way... Hang on a second here.
Yeah.
Mike, do you want to do breaking news?
Ooh, what do you have?
I have breaking wrestling news if you're interested.
Go, please, yeah.
It's good to know this, but it's kind of bad news for Boston.
Uh-oh. St. Louis? Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble is going to be in St. Louis.
Knew it. There you go. There you go.
The Royal Rumble is going to be St. Louis, according to somebody who we both know. Don't say his name.
Jimmy, with the mayor of Boston over the last couple of weeks putting in the mask mandate for indoor events. So if you're planning to go to Monday Night Raw September 13th in Boston, you're going to have to wear a mask going into the arena at the TD Garden. And it sounds like you're going to have to wear it. I don't know. Things could change over the next couple of weeks.
For the entire show, unless you're eating or drinking.
There you go. And that the COVID situation where Boston's taking it a little more serious than some other states and cities, rather, that was a major concern because SummerSlam was on the radar for Boston this past summer to get it here, but they didn't want to commit to the extra police details for a fan fest and other things along those lines. And I think fan fest or an access sort of deal would have been in the cards for Las Vegas, but that did not end up happening because of the Delta variant going back up.
FanFest happened in Vegas this year.
It did happen. Okay.
There was a FanFest. Yeah. They did a virtual one and they did an in-person one. And for your photos, it was you had to walk around the access area with a mask on and then they would bring up you up for the photo and the superstar would be between the SummerSlam logo. So they had this big Vegas logo with SummerSlam. And then, you know, say Roman Reigns would be on one side of it and you would be on the other side of it and they would sign and they would hand you an autograph. No personal items. And that's actually what they're doing for All Out in a week.
Okay.
Their fan fest is something similar.
Well, with the Boston situation here, the news I got 2 weeks ago about St. Louis, Seattle, Orlando, and then there was another potential city. I wasn't told which one. It didn't seem too good there because also Boston, pretty concerned about the weather, I think, at that time of year. But I don't think it's a walk in the park, for St. Louis in the winter, too. So you're rolling with the dice either way, wintertime, especially here. And now do they pick a date yet? Do they say it's going to be the first weekend of February?
So this is the intel that I got is somebody who we both know.
Yep.
I reached out because I hadn't texted with this person a while.
Yep.
And I said, I had a friend mention me Seattle for the Rumble this week. Mm-hmm. You know anything?
Yep.
And the response I got back was St. Louis.
Okay. Yeah. And St. Louis became the front runner over the last 2 weeks.
So that'll, I'm sure WWE will announce that soon, but that's a bummer. No bummer for Boston.
Yeah. Well, Boston's owed something, considering what happened with SummerSlam last year. So
I'll add this. Hopefully Boston gets something soon.
Yep.
for the most part going forward, the big four or five will be in stadiums from now on.
Yeah. And St. Louis does have the football stadium where the Rams used to play. Yep. And they just renovated it not too long ago. So it'll be right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they already announced Money in the Bank for Vegas next year.
July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like that.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean,
it was kind of like we kind of figured that it was. I wanted to know, Mike, I was rooting for you.
I know you were. I appreciate that. And you were putting me over. That was very nice of you.
Just because I wanted the Rumble in Boston, but that's a bummer.
Yeah. Like I said, the information when we got that with the St. Louis, Seattle, and Orlando 2 weeks ago, and like, yeah, we're probably, you know.
Did you hear St. Louis? Because I'm like, yes. Oh, I have a Rumble location. And you go St. Louis, and you just say it calmly.
Yes. Yeah.
So when did you hear this?
2 weeks ago. I had it on the tweet.
No. But I mean, like.
Oh, that
you said it so casually, like, yeah, F you and your breaking news. Like, I know it's St. Louis, a-hole.
No. I just had a feeling that St. Louis was it, because that's the information I got from someone at City Hall, that it was probably going to be in the Midwest or out West and not here. And then when I found out that St. Louis was the front runner, then bingo, there it is. So, but you're right. Boston is owed something. Yeah. But you know what? Survivor Series in New York. Barclays Center. Now that's a stadium. That's an arena, not a stadium. So that, but it's also New York. So, you know, you can hope for something. I don't know. Extreme Rules, Hell in a Cell.
I'll take Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber, great. That's a fine one.
I'll take Elimination Chamber. Hell in a Cell was a great pay per view a few years ago. The Hell 2016 awesome. Version.
Yep. What's the other one?
TLC was a great show.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. Yeah. Yeah.
No, TLC was a great show. TLC 2015. Winning, yes. Yeah. The ending of Sheamus winning over Roman was the crime. Roman's on the friggin' chair and you have Sheamus go over. Like, get out of here. But that was top notch.
For some reason, Jimmy, I was thinking of Clash of Champions.
Yeah, Clash of Champions was a dud. I mean, Dolph winning the US title and then handing it over the next night was kind of cool because nobody could call it.
Yeah.
But the rest of that show was meh.
Yeah. Nothing special.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, there you go. St. Louis Royal Rumble. Yeah, sorry, guys. We tried.
I assume that it's going to be announced soon, but that's my intel. Hopefully my intel is wrong, Mike. I hope that's wrong.
Never know. It's
my source is pretty good on this one.
No, I'm going with
you. If there's one person who would know about where locations for shows are, this person would know.
Then there you go. So, what can you do? Pay-per-view sounds good to me. We can watch Royal Rumble right on pay-per-view, and I'm totally fine with that if you're not going to be there. But we will – oh, not pay-per-view, Peacock Network, and hope to get another show here in Boston down the line. So fingers crossed.
Okay. So let's restart this in 3, 2 re-roll the open post-production, right?
Yeah, that's cute.
But hey, that's the way it goes. This week, our main focus was until we got that, because now we're 7 minutes in.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Our main focus is going to be the All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view, AEW. Mike, we're going to pick our way through this show. The match that I am most interested in seeing is CM Punk against Darby Allin. It's mostly to see what CM Punk has as a pro wrestler left. Does CM Punk still have it? The Chicago crowd and the fans, I think, will be kind of forgiving if this match has issues. But here's why the match is fascinating to me. CM Punk has to win, right? It's his comeback match. It's Chicago. He's the best in the world. But isn't CM Punk back in pro wrestling to work with and elevate young talent? What elevates a young talent more than Darby Allin hitting the coffin drop finisher for a clean three count on CM Punk? Chicago would crap their pants, but doesn't CM Punk, because this is his comeback, have to win clean after GTS? And does that have the similar effect? Or do we have to have some sort of similar finishes? Cody beating Darby Allin on AEW Dynamite, which was coffin drop on Cody. Cody hooks Darby's shoulders to the mat for a flash pin. So I would put CM Punk over and let him go on an undefeated run here. But it's so fascinating, the dynamic in this match. Like, if Punk is here to put people over, he's got to lose, right? But I'm not sure. There might be a better story told if CM Punk loses to Darby Allin and has to build his way back up to being the best in the world. But I don't know if I want to see that, because we've kind of seen a variation of that with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, where they're establishing themselves to new audience. CM Punk has 8 million views on his YouTube video of his return to wrestling. So kind of a dynamic. I would put Punk over in this match, and I would let him go on an unbeaten streak that would lead to a title match with Kenny Omega, MJF, whoever. Mike, what do you think?
No brainer. CM Punk's got to win this one here. You've already rode the hot hand of his return back to AEW. Talk about the merchandise sales, the ice cream bars, everything in Chicago. And here it is again in Chicago with All Out. So yes, that's a huge statement here for AEW in general, for CM Punk to win against Darby Allin. I think it's a prime spot for Darby Allin. And actually, you know, initially, Jimmy, I thought that CM Punk would be challenging for the world championship against Kenny Omega. Obviously, that did not come to fruition for this particular pay-per-view. But I think it's a good spot here with Darby Allin, the way he's been placed on the card for AEW. And it seems like that they're really throwing their weight behind him, AEW, of course, for Darby Allin, to see how he could possibly be a torch carrier down the line at the main event status, maybe like a MJF sort of deal. There's a great opportunity here for Darby Allin, but it's also interesting to see what could happen in a storyline with him. A possibility I could see is maybe Sting turning on Darby Allin or costing him the match and then setting up a feud there between the two. Or if you have a CM Punk victory too, Jimmy, which we're both in agreement with, you talk about him doing it clean, or you could have CM Punk doing dirty tactics to win the match. Some things to think about, and maybe you have him as a heel down the line too. But I think he's going to be a face.
No. Mike. We're not doing CM Punk turns on Chicago. We're not doing that.
Okay.
We're not doing
too
Steve Austin turns on his home state.
We're not
doing Steve Austin turns on WWF a week after he's just been turned to a good guy again. We're not doing this. We're not having Bret Hart try to get booed in Canada. We're not having Chris Jericho try to get booed. We're not doing this. This isn't what AEW does. AEW goes out there and has Britt Baker get a hometown welcome like she's supposed to.
Damn right.
We're not doing this. We're not doing CM Punk is trying to get booed by his crowd.
All right. Okay. But I'm just saying.
And by the way, Britt Baker did everything possible to cheat and steal and, you know, get booed, and the crowd was with her.
It's
not going to happen. This is, you know, it's Britt Baker's Shane Douglas in ECW in 97, where Shane Douglas is supposed to be the villain, but in his hometown, he's over. That's his hometown. Like that, but, and that's really the way it should be in wrestling.
Of course.
And it's my whole sports team thing. Like, John Cena should not be getting booed in Boston.
No, it's like a
disgrace. That shouldn't be happening. But yeah,
that's a disgrace.
That's the way it goes because wrestling fans are fickle.
But you know what, Jimmy? So, just for CM Punk here, I'm with you. Let me erase all of, you know, you pretended that didn't come up in the conversation I just had there about him.
No, it's okay. It's not a terrible idea. It's just like, don't do it in Chicago. Like,
right. But
and I would say don't do it at all.
Right.
But especially in Chicago. Like, here comes Bret Hart in 97 going to Canada and be like, please boo me.
Yes.
And cheer. Like, Canadian hero Bret Hart.
Exactly. It doesn't work that way. But the question is here for Darby Allin. That's where I could totally see like a Sting turn or, you know, him even turning on Sting himself instead of Sting, you know, doing the turn on him. So that could be a breakup situation right there. You can't have Darby Allin win this match, though. It's got to be CM Punk. But for the a way for him to have a chance and then throw it out, that's where I could see that happening there with his partner in crime doing some damage to him, and then that begins a new feud right there. So
I'm a little concerned that CM Punk is in great shape, but CM Punk is taking this approach like, oh, it's just like riding a bike, I'll be fine.
Well,
and that's not to say he isn't training, he's not in shape, but there's a difference between being in wrestling shape and UFC shape and things like that. There's a whole difference, and Punk's a tremendous athlete, but he's 42.
Yeah,
he hasn't worked a ring match in 7 years, so there are some current concerns there.
Here's a real question, though. Do you close the show with this match?
Right now, I would say yes. This is your main event. This goes on last.
Okay. Yeah.
But tell me how other matches are pegged to go forward. And what I mean by that is, if CM Punk's going over, he's winning, that goes on last. Even if CM Punk is losing that match, I'm fine with that going on last. But I think if MJF is beating Jericho and retiring Jericho, I think that kind of has to go on last.
Good point. If
right? If Christian Cage is beating Kenny Omega, doesn't that have to go on last? I wouldn't put it on last, but that's a major upset. That's a total pendulum shift to what you're doing with your world championship.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Punk has to go on last. I think Punk has to go on last unless Jericho's retiring. And then Jericho has to go on last.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, if they're going to have Jericho lose, then yeah, that would be your final match. But this has to close the show. Yeah, especially if Punk's going to win, everyone go home happy. Because I think that's what AEW's point is here, right here.
They're trying to do that.
They want that. So this is huge.
They're definitely trying to do that.
Yeah.
Mike, before we transition to your match that you're most interested in.
Yes.
Did you see CM Punk's Instagram and the clues that he left to who might be coming to AEW in the future?
Oh.
he had BW on his shoes, which we assume is Bray Wyatt. And this is on Rampage. He had AC on his shoes on Dynamite, which we assume is Adam Cole. We had a handshake from Ring of Honor that if you expand out the photo, it's Bryan Danielson. It's a handshake with Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. So is Punk messing with us? Is this actually going to happen? Time will tell. But it's certainly fascinating. Tony Khan actually was asked about Bryan Danielson. And he's like, yeah, I can't tell you that, but you know, he's one of the greatest of all time. Da, da, da. So he kind of dodged it, but didn't dodge it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Ross mentioned on Dynamite that, or he mentioned on his podcast, he mentioned on one of the two forums that he had a 2-hour conversation with CM Punk. And parts of that will be on the AEW preview show for the pay-per-view. And those preview shows are awesome.
They really are.
They're worth an hour of your time. The example that I always give is the first one that they did before their pay-per-view where it was Omega and Jericho as the main event. Jericho told you about the Judas effect and how it was going to win the match. I think one of them, John Moxley, explained how he was going to choke somebody out. So they will give you clues to the match. So I just think that they're very much worth your time.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Aside from the Punk Darby Allin match, the match you're most looking forward to on AEW's All Out pay-per-view?
You know, Jimmy, I may be in the minority on this one, but I'm really looking forward to Dr. Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. And this is for the AEW Women's Championship. Now,
so Mike, if you're going to do the intro, you have to do it proper. That is the AEW Women's Champion, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Yes, I love it. Good job, Jimmy. And Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Yep, sorry.
Wait, space it more. Why am I coaching you up? You're the announcer guy.
All right.
Understand, you know, spacing, letting it breathe. So repeat after me, Mike.
Go ahead.
I guess this is me producing you up.
Coach it. Go ahead, yeah.
DMD.
DMD.
Better. Continue.
Thank you. Well, we could have work on a couple things there. As you know, she has held the AEW Women's Championship since the Double or Nothing pay-per-view back on May 30th, ending Hikaru Shida's title reign for over a year. Now, Statlander here, she's been undefeated since returning in April, 14-0 this year, currently number one on the women's division rankings. Now, the thing I think that helped propel Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, to her profile right now, obviously being a champion, was the fabulous match she had earlier this year with Thunder Rosa. And now with Chris Statlander getting the number one ranking in the women's division rankings here for AEW, that is huge here for the future of the women's division. Britt Baker, this is a perfect opportunity for her to have an opponent who has that caliber right there. Number one, and actually have some, not saying that she hasn't had some good opponents and so forth, but this is big for the future of AEW's women's division. Because as we know, when AEW started a couple of years ago, the women's division really didn't take off for a while. And it just really does not have that same interest, unfortunately, as WWE's with the Raw Women's Championship, the SmackDown Women's title, hell, even NXT's, I'm sorry. But I don't think it's at that same caliber. This is a big step in the right direction for Britt Baker and Chris Statlander. I don't think Statlander is going to win. If she does, I'd be surprised. I think Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, will win the match. And regardless, though, Statlander, this will help continue to propel her career to have better spots in a women's division title, for a women's division title.
Britt Baker wins this match. Like, it's not even a question in my mind.
Yep.
Chris Statlander can go with anybody. Mm-hmm. She is one of the premier female workers that I've seen come out of, I think she's New York based, but I've seen her wrestle locally for Chaotic and Beyond Wrestling, and she's as good as they get. And she's only really, cliche alert, kind of just cracked the iceberg of what she can do in a women's division. She's got a unique character, unique personality. Her ring work is really tight. It's really solid. I watched her wrestle Christian Castanova, who you know as Carmelo Hayes in NXT now, at a Chaotic Wrestling show in Hudson a few years ago. So she can go with anybody.
Yep.
This will be good. It'll be interesting to me to see how and if they protect Chris Statlander, or if it's just going to be Britt Baker's going to go out there and blow doors and have a competitive match, but her championship is never in doubt.
Yeah.
There is a detail about Britt Baker that I kind of want to make people aware of. She has two heaters with her. She has two managers to help her, or manager type wrestlers in her corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think the long-term play, or at least the long-term story, should be that Rebel beats Britt Baker for the AEW Women's Championship, because Rebel has been such a force in her corner. But now you've got Jamie Hayter being introduced as an ally. So I wonder if there's a story here that we don't know about. I wonder if there's some sort of issue behind the scenes with DMD and Rebel.
Mm.
If there's some sort of real life heat, or if there's something else.
Interesting.
There's a story there, probably for a real investigative journalist to do instead of a gossiping radio producer. But it just seems that DMD, Baker, and Rebel have been together for so long, and then here comes another heater from the outside. So I need a little bit more information, a little bit more detail. If there's something going on behind the scenes, whether it's creative or whether it's an issue with Baker and Rebel, we'll kind of see about that. But
interesting.
It's interesting that they added another person to this story. And maybe it's nothing, maybe it's something. Mike Riley, the next match on my agenda is the AEW Tag Team Championship. It's the Young Bucks defending against the Lucha Brothers. Do you remember that ladder match from the 2019 All Out pay-per-view?
I do, and you know, Jimmy, I know you do because you were there for it.
Oh, stop it. I'm trying to go one podcast without mentioning the fact that I was in Chicago for the 2019 All Out pay-per-view, okay? It's become a drinking game for us. Well, that match was a five-star classic. Lucha Brothers won. They won with a Fear Factor springboard double foot stomp combination that Vince McMahon would scream, "What a maneuver," on a bridged ladder on Matt Jackson. They retrieved the belts to retain the AAA championship, I believe it was.
Correct.
There was a Canadian destroyer off one ladder through a table. So the elements in that match were ladders. And so now it's going to be a steel cage match. And so let's see what they can do. I think the steel cage could be a little bit more restrictive to these two teams, but they're so creative that we'll see. I think the Young Bucks retain the AEW championship, but here's something that I couldn't find on the internet. So I will take all the help that I can get. Yeah. And if AEW said it on commentary, I missed it. I'm sorry. I have not been able to find any history of the Young Bucks fighting in a steel cage. And that's frustrating to me because the Bucks have been working since around 04 and they've never worked a steel cage match. So somebody please tweet me, text me, tell me I'm wrong, tell me I'm lazy, tell me it was PWG in 2017 or TNA in 09 or Ring of Honor in 2016 that the Young Bucks worked a steel cage match, because I couldn't find it because I wanted to see how they would respond in a steel cage and I couldn't find it. And I think the elements notwithstanding, the Bucks are going to get their win here and move forward on their 300-plus day run as AEW Tag Team Champions.
Yep, I'm with you too. And, you know, I just did a Google search myself too to try to find about the steel cage match, and nothing for me either. So I'm curious to see if they have indeed fought in a steel cage. But, yeah, this is going to be really good. As you mentioned, third time these two tag teams are going at it, All Out in 2019, and then, of course, Double or Nothing a few months before that in 2019. And here it is for the world tag team titles right here. They're tied, both are tied with the clashes so far, and this is going to be very just a treat because we have the five-star one 2 years ago at All Out. You know AEW is going to put on a good show here because this is their third event in the All Out chronology, if you will, and the first pay-per-view since being held outside of Daly's Place since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. And when you have two of the best tag teams in the world, I guess, Go at it, Steel Cage. This is going to be a treat. And Young Bucks, they should retain here. I think, again, good spots for a lot of the talent here on all of these in all these matches here, Lucha Brothers especially. Even if they don't win, they're still in a great position going forward to continue to be among the best tag teams in the world.
Lucha Brothers are, I don't think we talk about them as being as great a tag team as they are, because I think they're there every week. We kind of take them for granted a little bit, but they're tremendous world, they're tremendous global talents. So to see them in the Young Bucks fight again, and with this variable that I can't recall the Bucks being in a cage, is interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe, like, again, I hope I'm wrong, but like, since 04, they haven't worked a cage. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. You know, they've done tons of ladder matches. They've done tornado matches. They've done all these. I can't believe that up until now, they haven't worked a cage match.
Yeah. And I got nothing on the Google there either. Someone probably will have it at some point here. Just another thought, Jimmy, if on the match here itself for the result, Lucha Brothers, I mean, even if they do win, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. I would not be shocked if they come away with this one here, because they've proven that they're ready to be atop the tag team division. And, you know, AEW might just be like, come on, let's go. It's time. It's time to pull the trigger on these guys. They're playing with the best in our promotion here, Young Bucks. So let's give these guys a shot, shake it up, and see what they can do to try to carry the torch for us here in the tag team division. So I would not be surprised if they win, but I do think Young Bucks will retain, though.
And then it becomes the question of who actually knocks off the Young Bucks.
Right. Right. You know,
Santana and Ortiz.
Santana and Ortiz, huh? They get the next push.
It's just a guess.
That's interesting.
Santana and Ortiz kind of make sense.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And that would play off of Santana and Ortiz coming to AEW after the ladder match that the Bucks and Lucha Brothers had in Chicago in 2019 that I was there for.
There you go.
All right. How I brought that back around to me?
Touche. Love it. I like it. But then again, Jimmy, we may have a Don Callis interference here in this one.
Oh, of course. Good brothers interfere. You know. Yeah. But see, Mike, the cage is meant to keep people out of the ring. This is true.
By the way, Don Callis, fantastic. I know I've talked about this before. He's just so good. What a treat.
He's been great. Like, awesome. What a carny. Good for him.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
What a carny. Yeah. Next on the agenda is MJF against Chris Jericho. If Jericho loses, he will never wrestle in AEW again. I think MJF wins here and goes to 4-0 against Chris Jericho. And the story here should be that Jericho overcomes the odds and wins. But the reality is Jericho turns 51 in November. He's been really banged up with his in-ring work the last few months. He's got the Friday Night Rampage commentary gig. He's never passed on a bottle of Grey Goose that he didn't like. So it might be kind of time for Jericho to just kind of step away as an active wrestler. And I think MJF's next step, if it's not the championship because Kenny Omega retains, it's got to be CM Punk, because MJF has to take another step, right? Because if MJF loses to Jericho, then where does MJF go next? So MJF needs the win here, I think, to go to CM Punk or Daniel Bryan or whoever is next for him. Like, that just seems like the progression. And it should be Adam Page, but Adam Page isn't on this show. So if Adam Page isn't beating Kenny Omega, then Kenny Omega is retaining over Christian Cage. Spoiler alert for predictions coming up. Mm-hmm. But MJF versus Kenny Omega, that doesn't make sense to me, but maybe it should. But I don't know. I'm just kind of talking out loud. But MJF versus Adam Page is a story that needs to play out. My hope would be it would play out for the world championship. But that obviously can't happen. So I'm going with MJF here in this match. I think Jericho calls it quits. And for the reasons that I just mentioned, Mike, what do you think?
Well, yeah. And if Jericho does call it quits, the easy insert here would be putting him right on the commentary desk, because Jim Ross even made mention of it this week that he wants to take his AEW contract year by year, coming up in the 3-year deal this spring. And he's also going to start fading away just a little bit on the commentary desk, do more behind the scenes interviews. And I think that would be an easy insert right there for Jericho to jump right into the commentary desk in a full-time role. He is, you talk about the 51 years old. It's a tough one, because this feud here has been it's been built up, as we know. And one of the longest storyline feuds in AEW history, and I guess for a long time for pro wrestling in general. You know, MJF joins the Inner Circle, then the Pinnacle, and creates the moments with Jericho, and just really some good moments, but not all of them have been the best right there. It's been long. Maybe the pandemic played a little part in the blow off between the pair here. I have a hard time accepting the fact that Jericho would retire here. I am of the opinion that if he is to retire, he would probably want MJF to do the honors for him at this point with the long-term storytelling. But I don't think he's going to lose. I think Jericho will hold on and defeat MJF here in this one, and you get a couple other matches out of him, and maybe he will have that formal farewell retirement match built up in the next year or so.
Who's left for Jericho to work in AEW?
Well, you could get CM Punk now at this point.
We've seen it though.
But you haven't seen an AEW.
Yeah, but they had so many great matches in WWE that I don't know that one CM Punk would want to. I think there's still an issue with CM Punk and Jericho over Jericho wanting Punk to do his podcast, Punk being Punk and not just wanting to do it. So I think there's an issue there.
Daniel Bryan, maybe?
We've seen that one too, haven't we?
We have at the first NXT, I believe, right?
Yeah, so are you going to expand on that? But like, I'm just looking at the roster, and I'm like, we've seen Jericho Page, we've seen Jericho Moxley, we've seen Jericho Omega.
Yeah. For the AEW roster, I mean,
Orange Cassidy, we've seen.
We've seen him and Cody. No, have we seen him and Cody?
We saw him and Cody, because Cody can't fight for the world title anymore.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, maybe if Cody come out of this one and have him officially retire.
Cody's on the shelf for a while.
With the kid and everything. I don't know. It's a fair question. Who would be next? Yeah, okay. All right. So it is a fair question. I mean, MJF right here, it also kind of feels like this storyline at this point is a little anticlimactic because of the appeal with CM Punk over the last couple of weeks. So not that real big buildup. And then, of course, if Jericho does lose, then all your attention is turned on this. What a career. Unbelievable. So you get more attention out of it. But if he is to win, like I think he will, then he just goes on, and then you try to figure out who would be next for him. But he's got his cruise coming up in October. We know that. That's official, right?
And he'll probably want to go on tour. He's off and on with his Fozzy tour.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at Jericho's dance card since he got to AEW, and he's worked with everybody.
He's done it all.
Like Omega, there was the New Japan match with Okada, Adam Page. He worked with Darby Allin. He worked with Cody. He's worked the Young Bucks. He's worked Jungle Boy. He worked Tanahashi, and that was in New Japan. He worked Moxley. He's worked with Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Joey Janela, Frankie Kazarian, Sean Spears, Nick Gage, Juventud, Wardlow. Yeah, he worked the Young Bucks. Him and MJF lost at Revolution in March. So I mean, there's nothing really for Jericho left.
Well, I did remember an article in the New York Post back in May where he talked about a potential clash with Sting. Again, we know the age gap, the age division for both of those guys, it would probably have to be a pre-produced video one, or maybe you have a tag team match where Jericho is on a tag team with someone and Sting with Darby Allin.
Yeah, you could do Jericho and Hager against Sting and Darby. Yeah,
there you go.
I think Jericho liked teaming with Hager.
Yep.
You know, yep. But keep in mind too, if Jericho retires, that's the end of the Inner Circle. Unless Correct. Jericho becomes the active manager, the Tully Blanchard, if you will.
Right.
Which maybe he does, but then like Jericho can't lead the Inner Circle as a manager. So is Sammy Guevara ready for that high profile spot as a leader? Because he would be, because he won the Stadium Stampede match and he right. seems to be on that ascension to be one of their top guys soon.
By the way, do you know when Jericho's contract is up, Jimmy?
My guess would be the new year.
Okay. So just something to think about here too. There's got to be, like, he was just on Stone Cold Steve Austin's Breaking Skull Session not too long ago, right? Broken Skull, sorry.
You're breaking the walls down of Jericho, your Broken Skull Ranch of Steve Austin.
Yes, thank you. And for Vince McMahon to give a thumbs up to that, I think there may be more to that. I think there may be more to that whole thing, and I would not rule out a potential return to WWE. There's a good relationship there.
I don't rule it out with Jericho either. I think him and Vince had a good relationship. I think it needs some fixing. You know, the Steve Austin podcast is probably step one to fixing it.
Yes.
And because I in Jericho's words, Vince was hurt that he did multiple New Japan shows. I think Vince was okay. In Jericho's words, I think Vince was okay with one match in New Japan. And then it's like, oh, it's a program. And now I think Vince had hurt feelings because he went to a new wrestling company. And so Jericho to come back and then he's going to be the list guy again. Cause this was Jericho's point in leaving in the first place was he wanted to be more than just the list guy,
but maybe he'll have something in his contract where he'll have control of, you know,
Vince doesn't do creative control. He learned that lesson from Bret Hart.
We know that. Well, you know what I mean? More of a little bit of say. Bruce is back there now. He can work closely with him on stuff. So there is always that possibility. I'm just not ruling out a return for Jericho back to Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, I'm not ruling it out. I just think that there are some obstacles and some hurdles to overcome. I mean, Jericho has creative input on everything he does.
Yeah.
And, so that's kind of a big deal. That's important to him, especially at this. He's always said that creative is important to him.
Yep.
Because he can call Tony Khan and be like, blah, 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 blah. This is my idea. With yep. Vince, it's you can text him or you can wait outside his office on show because you get handed a script that you don't like, as opposed to the creative is more hands-on. It's more of a team effort than it is. There's a team effort in AEW more so with the talent than there is in WWE.
Yep. And Jimmy, just to, I don't want to go off the rail too much here on one thing, but we are very fortunate here in the year 2021. And I just go back to Chris Jericho's podcast for when he initially joined AEW 2 years ago. Wrestling fans, embrace what you have here from these performers giving you information from what you have, because we didn't have this years ago. He's giving us information behind the scenes. They were supposed to kayfabe everything. It's really fascinating. You listen back on that interview, his podcast rather, from 2 years ago when he joined AEW. That's why I'm not ruling out a return with WWE, because of his relationship with Vince McMahon. You wouldn't know that 25 years ago because of the access we have with these guys putting themselves out here. So it's really, you can go back and listen to the archives on things. It's crucial to try to put the pieces together here to see what the next step would be for someone like Jericho.
We do have to talk about the AEW World Championship match. I think Kenny Omega defeats Christian Cage in this match. Omega retains. I felt for a while that Adam Page is the one who beats Kenny Omega. That's the story. It's fun that Christian Cage pinned Kenny Omega to win the Impact Championship on the debut episode of Rampage, but Christian Cage isn't the person who takes the AEW title away from Kenny Omega. It's Adam Page, and nobody can convince me otherwise. Like, I'm sorry, it can't happen.
Yeah.
Christian's a wonderful worker. He's probably an underappreciated talent, especially by me, but I just don't see him as the one who beats Kenny Omega here.
The only way I see Christian Cage winning this match is if it does go on last. And that's why I think you're going to see this like kind of middle of the pack on the card, because they'll close with CM Punk. But if it does close, if it does not close last, then Kenny Omega, a slam dunk to retain here. And yeah, Christian's got the Impact title there. We know about that. And Adam, you talked about the Adam Page history and so forth. He's supposed to be in this one. It did not happen because of Cage being in it. So you can put Adam Page in the back burner for another time. But I mean, I think it's more important for Kenny Omega to retain, where then you have CM Punk possibly challenge him for the title in say November, right?
At St. Louis. St. Louis strikes again.
Oh, those Blues.
Thank goodness that the Red Sox beat the Cardinals in all those World Series. Can't say the same thing for the Bruins and
the Patriots beat the Rams too.
And the Patriots beat the Rams.
So Gloria.
Yep. You do that on your own time.
Yes.
So yeah, that's all I have for AEW notes.
Should be good. Sunday night, Labor Day weekend, Sunday night, kids.
I'd rather it be a Saturday, but we'll take the Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't have any updated intel on Adam Cole or Sasha Banks. I appreciate everyone who didn't put these details on social media. I would also appreciate, although if you know that St. Louis, like, I guess put it out there, but
yeah,
St. Louis for the Rumble, but, you know. I appreciate everybody. I wish I had more information. I don't. Adam Cole and Britt Baker had fun on social media, hyping up that they might be on SmackDown by, you know, just Britt Baker doing the, oh my goodness, face from NXT War Games, which I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. Speaking of NXT, Mike, I know that you have some thoughts on NXT TakeOver 36 and the future of the brand. So the floor is yours, and I will chirp you when I need to.
All right. Well, you saw the notes that I sent along there from Nick Khan's interview. Yeah. So there you go. Nick Khan speaking to BT Sports on the future of NXT, saying in so many words that the NXT will be getting ready to do a rebrand. And they actually tweeted out just today, as of this recording here, August 29th, of their potential new logo. It looks kind of like a tropical, almost like a Florida thing, but of course it's where they're based in Orlando. So NXT, Nick Khan saying that look for it in the next couple of weeks. It will have a whole new look, going to have a whole new feel. We believe because a lot of the indie wrestlers, if you will, have come through our system and are in our system with SmackDown and Raw now. We don't want to just keep doing that same thing. We want to look elsewhere for great young talent. Interesting. Sounds like that it's just going to be their own. It's not going to be a development anymore. Is that correct? Does that, you get out of it too? No longer a development?
No, I think I feel like NXT is going back to being a developmental territory. And what I mean by that is NXT TakeOver 36. That's going to be the last takeover for a while.
That's what it sounds like, too.
And so you're going to have Samoa Joe as the champion, and he's going to teach. Like, they're still going to do their weekly shows, and it's going to be Samoa Joe and Pete Dunne and Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. But you're going to see more people like Carmelo Hayes, Christian Castanova, who worked locally for Beyond and Chaotic Wrestling. They're going to start to integrate more and more of these younger talents. And they're going to be going for the secondary championships, or they're going to be featured in prominent positions. Like Carmelo Hayes just wins the breakout tournament. And, you know, what championship is he going to be vying for? Is he going to sit on it? Is he going to wait?
Yeah.
Like, I know that NXT people feel very highly and very good about him, but you've also got this very deep women's roster. So now you have to find some breakout stars to put on Raw. So instead of it being Triple H's super indie, I think we're going to go back to how do we fit this person on SmackDown? How do we fit this person on Raw? Who's our next person to go right into an important story?
Yep.
And I think that's what NXT should have always been. And because like NXT was designed to put Ring of Honor out of business.
Mm-hmm.
It got to a point where that was the goal. And so Ring of Honor is a product that I have friends who work there who I like and hope they do well and they get steady income. But Ring of Honor isn't where it was, what, 6 years ago? 5 years ago? Really, they peaked with that Madison Square Garden show. Once the Bucks left and Cody left, that was kind of it for Ring of Honor. And I say that as a fan of the promotion since, you know, it pretty much opened its doors in the Murphy Rec Center in Pennsylvania or wherever that is, New Jersey, whatever it was.
Yep.
So now NXT has lost the Battle of the Super Indies to AEW because Tony Khan had more money. They got the right brand of talent at the right time. They got a big TV deal, so on, so on, so on. So now NXT has to take a step back. They still have to do weekly TV shows and still be a business. So now they have to balance out and have Samoa Joe and Ciampa and enough star power so that you're watching, but also bring along the next caliber of star. Mm-hmm. So it's really back to being a developmental territory.
Yep.
Instead of being, we're going to go tour here, we're going to go tour here. Nope, they're in the Capitol Wrestling Center until further notice. Maybe they do a WrestleMania weekend takeover, but I don't even think we'll see that. Because I think Friday night SmackDown messes that up, and I think that they would still rather have SmackDown, Hall of Fame Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday, Raw.
Yeah.
I think the NXT thing just messed them up, and you could tell a little bit because they did two nights of NXT takeover on Tuesday and Wednesday or Wednesday and Thursday, whatever it ended up being. And that was from their Capital One Center.
Well,
Capital Wrestling Center.
Yeah, the wrestling. And yeah, exactly. And you talk about the TakeOver 36 probably being the last one for a while. And the only thing that everyone is saying about that, one of the big things that everyone's saying is that the show deserved a full arena of fans. So you talk about that being SummerSlam weekend. Why couldn't they have gotten one of the arenas in Vegas too, potentially? To parlay that takeover the night before or even the day after as it was for SummerSlam last weekend. So that show was really good, the TakeOver 36. They're going in the original roots here for NXT, and to have that last show like that without a full house, yeah, I mean, it would have been really awesome to have seen that there, the reaction and so forth, but if you watch the show start to finish, it was a really good takeover, really good one. And yeah, the Walter awesome. Match... Yeah.
You had another match of the year, which Meltzer gave 5.25 stars.
Boom. It's on the candidate list, James. Well, so, of course it is. But Samoa Joe, though. Samoa Joe, good for him, man. NXT champion, right? He is...
Now a three-time NXT champion. And Joe, to me, he looked like he lost a step. But he hasn't worked in a long time. So, you know, I'm forgiving of that. But, yeah, I was pumped that Joe won. And now Karrion Kross gets to have the Farouk Shield.
Yes.
If you remember Farouk when he debuted in WWF in 96.
Farouk Assad. Yep.
He had the head shield, and now Karrion Kross gets to have something similar.
Then he nearly killed Ahmed Johnson on his debut.
This is an interesting point, though, and maybe this is why people have lost faith in NXT as a brand.
Yep.
Is what happens when they go from NXT to Raw or SmackDown? You're seeing it with Karrion Kross. There are other examples of it, that it's why Tommaso Ciampa doesn't want to go to Raw or SmackDown, because he knows.
Right.
He knows better. And it's why Adam Cole might end up in AEW.
Right. Right. Because and
they know. They know.
It's just so, it's interesting because NXT, you know, the WWE made the move to put NXT Wednesday night to go right up against AEW. Obviously, that failed. And they went back to the Tuesday night route there, or just a Tuesday night route, to have their own night of the week. And it's, you know, they still have that core audience, but it's just like NXT was on their way to a whole new level, I guess, of not saying that nothing will change with the level of interest, but it just seemed like they were really trying to be right up there with Raw and SmackDown as their own brand, if you will. And, now it's just all full development where the original roots came from.
Yeah. And
what we're about to get.
Yeah. That's what it is. The problem is NXT needs Dusty Rhodes. nobody could bring out the best in characters as you've seen from a developmental standpoint in NXT than Dusty Rhodes.
Son of a plumber.
So he had a good feel for everything there.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe, I'm happy, is a 3-time NXT champion and leading that brand and working again. So that's exciting for me.
Yep.
Mike, did you have anything else on your agenda?
Well, yeah, just one other question. One person asked me, a couple of people asked me, was this this past weekend the best weekend of all time in pro wrestling? CM Punk, SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver? It's a tough one to argue, but I'd have to think about some other WrestleMania weekends, too, to put up there. But otherwise, if you're just going to have this as a non-WrestleMania weekend, I'd say yes.
Biggest week in pro wrestling history, no. I'd have to think a little bit more in depth as to what might have been.
Mm.
But I don't think so. I think, let's see, thinking off the top of my head, even though you gave me this question Saturday afternoon. hey, I have to be real. Like I saw the question and I was like, oh, I got to think about that. And I never thought about it until now.
But I'm putting on WrestleMania weekend.
WCW being purchased by Vince leading into WrestleMania 17.
Big one.
That feels like, because that's when WCW ended. ECW would later go into bankruptcy. So really Vince had everything.
And
that's probably the biggest.
Yep. And
from
people's
a business point of view. And also you had Steve Austin winning the world title and then turning. And then fans turning out of the product.
And people say WrestleMania 17 is the greatest WrestleMania of all time, too. So a lot of everything in threes right there. That's a very good one.
And by the way, if it's 10 days or 14 days, the general idea is it happened in a very short period of time. If it was the same week, cool. Like, if you want to get on my case about, being... Oh, it was actually 11 days instead of 7 days. Fine. Do your thing.
Yeah, it's do it
fine.
On your
I'll
own time.
I'll mute you on Twitter. I'll mute you on Twitter. I will mute you on Twitter is what he tried to say. All right, we're living.
There you go.
It's time, it's time to go home.
Go this home. Good night, everyone.
This has been a pig of an episode. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com. And an Apple Podcast and Google Podcasts.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.